What makes someone a balanced leader? Hey there, this is your friend and guide, Caroline. On today's Balanced Leader, my incredible guest and I share strategies to help you lead with confidence, stay resilient, and avoid burnout. This isn't just about leadership. It's about thriving holistically, in mind, body, and spirit. Ready to recalibrate? Well, let's dive in and create the balanced life you deserve. Welcome back to another episode of today's Balanced Leader. Let me ask you a question. You look like you have it all together, but inside you're tired, right? Not just physically, but soul tired. You're building the career, the business, showing up for everyone, checking every damn box, and still wondering why it feels so heavy. You've been told to hustle, to push, to scale, but no one told you the truth. Your nervous system is burnt out, and no amount of strategy will fix what your body doesn't feel safe to receive. You can listen to the podcast, do the journaling, say the affirmations, but if you're not living it through your body, nothing changes. It's why so many women and people feel like they're going through the motions, even when they're doing all the right things. And today's guest, Katie Townsend, is here to crack that open with us. She's a powerful voice in the world of branding and business, but more than that, she's here to help you break the cycle of overwhelm, heal the root, and rise from a place of safety and self-trust. So let me tell you a bit about Katie. She's a former therapist turned powerhouse marketing and brand coach, guiding high-achieving female entrepreneurs to unparalleled success through the three pillars of extraordinary business growth: strategy, identity, and embodiment. And you guys know I love embodiment. With a deep understanding of human psychology and storytelling, she helps women break free from the conventional marketing and step into their most magnetic brand identity and embody the confident, wealth-attracting leader they are meant to be. Her approach fuses strategic mastery, personal expression, and somatic intelligence, creating brands that don't just sell, at lead industries. So if you're ready to stop living in survival mode and finally step into success that feels nourishing, not just another thing to do or carry, this episode is your permission slip. So take a breath. You don't have to hold it in anymore. Let's get right to it. Welcome, Katie. So excited to have you here today.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. And just so my listeners know, I'm always super transparent. Katie is my coach and somebody who has really helped me to feel confident in bringing forth who I am and my brand. So stay tuned for more transformations that are coming. But let's start here. What is embodiment really, Katie? And why does the state of that and the nervous system to determine whether you feel aligned, supported, and able to sustain the success and life that you're building?
Oh, this is such a great question. You started off with a big one, Caroline.
Get right to it.
I love it. It's the one that I love to talk about the most because I think it is where the biggest misconceptions lie. So when we're talking about embodiment, as you know, like a lot of people think about embodiment and they're like, okay, maybe it's like a mind-body connection situation. Maybe it's about thinking like this person and then behaving like this person. But when we're talking about embodiment, what we're truly talking about is creating safety within the body to be with all the sensations that life, business, relationships, whatever it is, bring to us. So many times, especially women, have been conditioned to suppress their emotions, to be in a state of fear or survival for most of their life. And this can be from childhood, it could be from society, it can just be from growing up in capitalistic cultures, right? It's like where we constantly feel like we have to be on, we have to be doing, we have to be performing, that we need to hide aspects of ourselves, that our emotions are either too much for other people to handle, or we're too sensitive, we're feeling things. And so therefore we create these protective mechanisms, which are beautiful. Our brain and our body are brilliant. And they create these little patterns of protection that stop us from fully feeling. Embodiment is being able to fully feel, fully feel an emotion all the way through to the ability that is safe for you at that time. Now, that's going to look different for different people, but it's not being scared of your emotions. It's meeting them, whether it's the joy of a promotion or the discomfort of being let go or letting someone else go or not hitting a goal or having a hard conversation or just not feeling like you're performing at the level that you want to perform. Rejection, criticism, all of these things, a lot of people run from those emotions. And so when we're talking about embodiment, it's being able to meet those emotions, feel them, have tools and resources to create safety in the body to feel those emotions, to be with those sensations so that they can expand us and we can grow with them. And we no longer have to be scared of feeling things, aka experiencing things in our life that might be creating fears of success or fears of failure and things like that.
What Katie just said, it hit, didn't it? Because deep down you know this isn't just about mindset. You're smart, you've done the work, you've checked all the boxes, but your body still doesn't feel safe. And no strategy in the world works if your system is in shutdown. Let me pause for a moment, because I see you. You're doing everything right. The journal prompts, the affirmations, the mindset shifts, maybe even the therapy and the breath work. And yet, you're still holding your breath. Your body still doesn't feel safe to relax. And you still feel like you're one misstep away from falling apart. I know that place. I've lived it. That space between knowing better and actually feeling different. And that's exactly why I created Clarity and Calm. It's 1 hour workshop on May 27th, and it's the place where we stop trying to fix ourselves and start feeling safe in our bodies again. Because real change doesn't happen through thinking. It happens when your nervous system finally exhales, when your shoulders drop, when your inner voice gets louder than your inner critic. In one sacred hour, we'll slow it all down so you can come back to home, to you. It's only $47, and truthfully, it's not just a workshop. It's a reset, a reclaiming, a return. If your heart's whispering yes, follow it. The link is in the show notes, or DM me if you're unsure and just want to talk it through. Now back to this transformational episode.
Yeah, I love that. I often think about, with my listeners know, I call it Pandora's box when we keep shoving emotions and we don't deal with them. And eventually Pandora's box is going to explode and it's not going to be good. And hence the burnout that I had as a result, right? Because we wanted to put on that good girl protection, if you will. And I find that a lot of women, they seem to achieve a lot of things, but they never feel satisfied. What do you think is really going on in her body? Because we know what's going on in her mind for the most part, but feel free to speak about it. But what's going on in her body that she might be missing to have that feeling of being satisfied and happy with life?
Yeah. And so one of the things that you just said before connects to this, and it's that feeling of pushing the emotions away and creating emotional contracts in the body, somatic contracts in the body, that we need to stay in a state of familiarity with what feels comfortable for us. And so that is going to be sometimes a contract with disappointment, fear, scarcity, sadness, grief, insecurity. And if we have those emotional contracts within our nervous system and we've been wired to stay in those states, even when great things are happening, we will revert back to those emotions. We will stay, we will find ways to get back to that state. Our nervous system will either pick up cues of unsafety in fear in our environment when things are actually fine and create a emotional reaction that leads to feeling scared. It's not enough. I'm not doing a good enough job. You know, the stories and the emotions are interconnected. And then we end up in a place where it's like, even though you're making, you have the dream career, everything's great, everything's happy, you're still engaging in these patterns that are making you feel burnt out, like an imposter, unhappy, right? And that's like the Pandora's box. So if we are constantly running from those emotions, we're not running from anything. We're just ignoring them and avoiding them, but they're unconsciously running the show through our nervous system and the connection to our subconscious beliefs and thinking patterns.
Yeah, and I didn't realize, I've been doing a ton of learning in that space for myself, but for my clients. And I, recently shared with a client, and she didn't realize that it's not just the way your maternal, paternal, but say your maternal line, so your mother, grandmother treated you, but these traumas or these beliefs can go back like seven ancestral levels, right?
Yeah, they're generational.
And so when someone knows there, and this is what I feel a lot of women struggle with, they know there's more to life, they know they want more, deserve more. What would you say the top three signs are that someone would be operating from when they're just in that survival mode, even if their life looks wildly successful from the outside?
What a great question. So I think that, one of the biggest signs that we're going to see, so when we're thinking about signs, the way my brain immediately goes is from a state of hyper arousal or a state of hypo arousal. And there's going to be different patterns that emerge from each of those states. And typically you start in hyper and then you end up in hypo because hypo looks like burnout. So let me give examples here. So like the signs might be, if you're functioning from this state, is that you find yourself maybe continuously in patterns in your workplace where you are working over hours. You are scared to not to miss an email. There's an urgency around every email that's coming in or client text message that's coming in. There is this underlying urge to feel like you're almost going to get fired with every email or response that you get, or someone's going to be mad at you, or you're just constantly doing something wrong, even though there's no evidence of that. It's a hyper vigilance. Like there's no evidence of that in your environment. And then the next place after that would be a sign of like where you've moved out of that, that's created so much toxic stress in the body to where now you've moved into a state where you're starting to experience signs of burnout. So now you have apathy. Like no matter what, you can't find joy in things anymore. You have a lot of brain fog. You're shutting down. You find yourself not being able to perform like you used to. And it starts to show up in patterns outside of work. You're going home, you're binging on Netflix, you're drinking too much, you are so tired, but you still can't sleep. And these patterns start to emerge. So those are some of the signs I would say are coming up if you're functioning from a place of survival. And it's like everything can look great on the outside, but internally you're in like freak out shutdown mode constantly.
And I'm laughing a little bit because I'm sitting there going, I remember me doing that not that long ago.
Same.
I was like, yes, check, check, check. And I think, sometimes I like to call that like you feel like you're just a cog in the wheel. You've had purpose and passion in your role, so you've been excited about it. And to your point, you've got the promotion and that feels good. But that's not sustainable long term, right? So they start to go into that hypo mode. How can someone begin to shift out of that state, especially, to be honest, when they're scared to slow down or let go of control, because that's all they've known all their life?
Yeah, this is a big thing I do with my clients too, because whether they're just getting started or they've been in business for a period of time, all the women I work with are high performers, they're high achievers. So even with my background, like I graduated early with my master's degree, worked the two jobs, did the like I was constantly going and striving and achieving. And when we're in this pattern, and then we're told to slow down, that feels like, are you insane? I can't stop. Because then if I stop, I have so much guilt for being still for a period of time. And we're scared that we're never going to be able to get back up. I talk about it like the shark that has to constantly keep moving, because if you stop, then you're going to drown in basically your own emotions, because then you have to face yourself. And so this isn't something I suggest someone just takes 2 weeks off and then all of a sudden you're going to be fine. It's like, no, we have to set aside time with a trusted individual, an expert in this work, to have weekly meetings, maybe even double a week or bi-weekly, whatever you can work into your schedule if you want to start changing this and make the investment in our well-being to work with professionals like you or myself or even therapists too. I always recommend coaching and therapy go hand in hand, but be able to have individuals who know how to help you start to move into the body in a safe way, in a progressionary way, so that you can actually begin to meet the emotions that need to be processed. So you're no longer basing your worth on achievements and validation, because that's really what's happening here. Is if I can just be successful enough, then I'm allowed to be happy. But you know what's going to happen is you're going to get the promotion. You're going to make the money. You're going to have the accolades. You're going to get the awards. And then you are going to be happy. And that's going to feel extremely unsafe. And you're going to sabotage the crap out of it. And you're going to find a way to either work yourself into another burnout cycle, or you're going to find a way to say that you're an imposter and say no to the next project and then fumble it, or get involved with a toxic co-worker who then there's dynamics there, or constantly be finding yourself in jobs with bosses who resemble the critical parent who you grew up with. Like, these patterns show up. They're very subtle and sneaky, and you're not going to be able to really see them. And if you do see them, change them without the support of somebody who can meet you and taking the slow steps into the body to meet these emotions, so you don't just create an overwhelm to the system of like, okay, I just took 2 weeks off of work and I'm going to rest. Like, that can actually be more detrimental than beneficial to people who are in a very intense cycle of hyperproductivity.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because that seems to be the given. And you know, I work with clients that have been on leave or are afraid to go on leave because they're afraid when they come back, they potentially might lose their job. You're in this cycle, and you know, they think that just by doing the mindset work or setting goals that that's going to be enough, but there truly is that deeper piece that they're skipping. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about maybe the psychology, Katie, around why that is and why we think just taking that 2 weeks is gonna be the fix it.
Well, and you know, I think this isn't just for the specific woman that we're talking about now. I think this is our culture in a whole, is we have been conditioned to believe that there's some quick fix and that there's some three-step process and that this is this linear thing and that we can think our way out of an emotional experience. And that's not how emotions work. But again, if we're thinking about like myself, I'll use myself. So like for me, when I left my career, I was burnt out, right? Like, I was just burnt out. I had a lot of compassion fatigue from working with severely traumatized individuals and chronic mental illness for many years. And I loved my work for a really long time. But then it just became to the point where I wanted something different and I wanted more freedom. And the incongruence in how I was functioning combined with all of the lack of mental health support in the mental health industry for providers led to me saying, okay, I want more and I'm going to start my business. But I took me with me, right? And so I went into my business and I excelled and I took off fast and I hit the ground running and I achieved things that most people don't achieve very, very quickly. But then I burnt out again. Shocker, right? And what did I do? I sat there looking for some quick fix. And I was like, okay, well, what's the three-step process to healing my burnout, right? Like, how do I heal this burnout and how do I make it better? I'll just take a week. I'll take 2 weeks off at the end of the year and I should be better for the new year, right? I remember thinking that. And I took 2 weeks off and all I did was just burn myself out more because I had so much freaking guilt about not being productive and not doing the goals and then freaking out like my business is going to implode without me there. And oh my God, it's all going to go in all of the drama that occurs because I wasn't meeting myself in my nervous system. So when we're talking about the psychology here, I think a lot of people think that, well, all I have to do is rest. But this isn't a matter of, it's not a physical exhaustion that people are experiencing. It's an emotional and spiritual exhaustion. So you have to go in and meet yourself on an emotional and spiritual level, which takes time because you've been living in this pattern and these cycles for decades. Like, I was 30 something when this happened. A lot of women are in their 40s when they start to realize these things. So that means that is 3 to 4 decades of ingrained patterns and responses inside the nervous system. So if we're thinking about the nervous system like a computer, you literally have to rewrite new programming for that computer to operate differently. And that doesn't just happen from turning the computer off and turning it back on. You have to go into the hardware and change out the hardware, which takes time because you need to figure out what's working and what's not.
That's a great analogy with the computer. And, you know, I think if we go back to the 2 weeks off as well, I've always said to people, well, what are you going to do in those 2 weeks while you're off? Because you can begin to heal, you can begin to put things into place that are going to support you long term, therapy, coaching, boundaries, right, all those things. But it's also a complete lifestyle change like anything is. But there's, to your point, a lot of unraveling that needs to occur first before you can make those change. I refer it back to energy healing. When I do energy healing, I'm removing all the blockages and things that are stuck in your system. So that takes time to do that. But then at the flip is then we need to add compassion, love, like all those other things in too. So it isn't a 2 week, I'm going to go lie on the beach and I'm going to come back and I'm going to feel great. You may for a day or two, but as soon as you open up that email and you see it happening.
Let's be honest, healing doesn't happen on a beach in 2 weeks. It happens when you finally stop abandoning yourself. It's a full body, full life repatterning, and it takes time, space, and support. And that's why I created Summer Soul Reset. Because if you're ready to actually change the way you move through life, not just think differently, but feel different in your body, to stop spiraling every time life gets loud and to rebuild the parts of you that you've pushed aside just to get by, then this is for you. Summer Soul Reset is a 6-week journey starting in July. It's gentle, it's deep, and it's powerful. We go layer by layer, resetting your nervous system, your energy, and your ability to hold more joy, peace, and possibility. This isn't about doing more. It's about learning to live differently. And the women already messaging me about it, they're not waiting for permission. They're creating their own. If that sounds like you, then DM me and I'll send you early access before it opens to the public. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to keep living from depletion. It's time for change. Now, let's get back to our episode.
Right. It's still the same person. It's still the same nervous system responding to the email that feels like a tiger in the room. And now there's a threat and you're in high, and now you're in fight or flight again. And so, like, the other thing I see, Caroline, and I bet you probably see this too, is like, okay, well, I'm going to take time off. And then all of a sudden there's a to-do list of all the things they want to do during their time off. And it's like, there's the pattern.
Yeah.
There's the pattern, because why can't you just be in space and presence with yourself? And what does it feel like when you are there? Let's meet those feelings of guilt, of fear, of maybe even sadness and grief that start to present themselves as you are sitting still with no to-do list, no tasks, no busy things to fill the void, and start to actually meet what's there. Then all of a sudden we start to get new information, new data is processed into the hard drive, right? And now we can begin to rewire and we're not running off of an old system that is stuck, because that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the nervous system. We're talking about being stuck in a stress response. And so that stress response, when you get stuck in these states, the nervous system isn't actively moving through its hierarchy of connection, then we have activation, and then we have a dorsal shutdown. And so if we're not moving through that, we get stuck in a state. And when you get stuck in one state, then you're going to move into the next one, and you'll continue to bounce back and forth between these two states, and you won't be able to get back to a state of connection. So the goal here is to meet the emotions that are making you stuck and process them, which is not a 1-2-3 process. It is something that you need a professional like Caroline to sit with and be able to say, hey, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm seeing. Let's sit with that now. Let's meet that and process through. And it's not a 2-week vacation. It's a ongoing process of becoming a new version of you.
Yes. I adore that. And it was funny, that was going to be my questions around, you know, a lot of people think it's just where do I look first? I feel stuck. Where do I look first? To your point, you can't always identify it. I couldn't identify it, hence I had to hire a coach myself. I went to a psychotherapist first. She got me to a certain point, and then I went to a coach because I feel they both offer things that are different but complement each other. But it's, you know, it's not just habits. It's your energy. It's your identity. It's what you're telling yourself, right? It's those old stories that you really have to start to break and dissolve so that you don't believe them. And it doesn't mean they'll never show up again. They still show up. still come back.
And the big thing I see too, and I want to talk about this because I don't think enough people talk about it, is burnout is a traumatic experience for you and the nervous system. It's too much for too long. That's what burnout is. And so if we're thinking about trauma, it's too much, too fast, but also too much for too long. Because when that has been going on, it creates an imprint on the mind and the body. And so somebody might do the healing work, right, around this, but then they struggle to get back into a state of action. And this is something I've seen with a lot of my clients, is they've built the business, they've had the massive success, they come from a career where it was promotion after promotion, head of the division or whatever, like high performing individuals who then built a business and now they're doing that. And it's like, oh my God, I burnt out. I get the help, I start to heal, come out of it, feeling better, but I can't quite get myself back into the motion because now there's a protection pattern around action. And it's like, if I go back into that, can I trust myself not to recreate the trauma? Because our nervous system is literally going to want to recreate the familiar. And this is why we have re-traumatization patterns that we find ourselves in. Specifically, the best place to look at this is in relationships. It's the easiest place to see it. But like, we get scared that we're going to burn out again. I don't want to take on too much responsibility. I don't want to try. I don't want to take too much action. And so we stay in a state of like hypo arousal and kind of avoidance and being like, oh, this is good enough. I just want to tiptoe back in. And we justify and we rationalize this behavior because it makes sense. It makes sense. But then we're like, but I'm not doing the things I need to do. And I feel stuck and I feel frozen. And so it's like, we need to start processing the burnout wound now that we've gotten to the point of why the burnout was happening and create the self-trust with small, intentional, I call it progressive loading. That's a fitness term, but I talk about it with the nervous system too, because it's basically the same thing. It's like just slowly adding on smaller tasks and seeing what we can work with and seeing what we can't, and noticing how our capacity has actually grown now and how we're not approaching it with the same reactive patterns and the same nervous system any longer. So we're not going to get in the freak out mode when the email comes that then sends us into a spiral that consumes massive energy for the next day and a half, right? Like, we're not doing that anymore. So we actually have a wider bandwidth to be with more, even so, than we did before, while it feeling lighter and less exhausting.
Yes. And Mo is transparent. That's what Katie's helped me through, because my fear was, am I going to put myself in that predicament again where I'm working lots of hours? Yes, I'm successful in my business. One, it doesn't bring me joy. Two, it's going to ruin my nervous system. And three, I'm going to end up in burnout again. But, you know, what I've learned and what I teach others is we also have to remember we aren't those people anymore. So if you've taken the time to heal, to find tools that work for you. And it's not the same tool that works for everybody, But when you change, and that's why I said it's lifestyle that has to change. Not only are you healing, you're doing things to protect yourself, to calm that nervous system on a daily basis, so that when these things do appear, they don't impact you the way that they used to. They don't set you spiraling. They may give you that little kind of feeling, but you've got the tools to be able to bring yourself back and to be able to handle it with empathy, with compassion, but at the same time with action and without it triggering any of the fight, flight, freeze, fawn responses.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the resiliency factor, our ability to adapt and overcome quickly. And this is why a huge, you know, I've had multiple programs that, you know, rich, resilient, free, rich, resilient, regulated, because a resilient nervous system is a requirement for entrepreneurship and for leadership in any capacity. Because if you are leading a company, if you're leading a team, if you're running your own business, you are in a position where you are going to be faced with experiences that most people will not experience. And you are going to be asked to handle those with an emotional, with a level of objectivity, not emotional reactivity. And so if you are not, if you do not have a resilient nervous system, you will be unable to complete that task. You will be unable to lead. You will be unable to take your team, your business, your company to higher levels, because your nervous system cannot hold higher levels of success because it is running from a place of reactivity and not resilience. And so the resilience is like, okay, I may have to let someone go. Let's say we have to have the hard conversation. I have to let someone go. I have to let a team member go. If you are approaching that from a state of suppression where you're not feeling the emotions and actually acknowledging that that is a significant experience for both of you, or from a place of over emotional reactivity where you might be able to have the conversation, or maybe you avoid the conversation for weeks and exhaust yourself doing that, or you actually have the conversation, then you spiral out afterward, making it mean all these terrible things about who you are and thinking and overthinking about that person and ruminating and doing all these things that will show up on the backside of that, then you've just lost hours, hours of energy, hours of attention that could be focused in other places. As opposed to, if you have a resilient nervous system, you can practice empathy and compassion for yourself and that person, face the conversation head on when you know it needs to happen without putting it off for ages, have the conversation, do it in a way that is productive and integrity for both you and the person there, and then use it as a learning experience and bounce back quickly from it so you don't get stuck in a state of stress or shutdown on the back end, and move into the next conversation that you're going to have with the next employee that's going to be knocking on your door, or the next client that's going to be sending you a message in Telegram. Like, this is just how these things go. And if you don't have the resiliency factor, you aren't going to be able to face the thing that comes after with the level of objectivity and leadership that's required, again, if you want to grow. And if you want to have a happy life, even beyond growing, like if you just want to have a happy life.
Yes. Yes. Love that. I can't even add more to that because that is bang on. Love how you articulated that, because I've seen that so many times with leaders, and they aren't able to bring their best selves forward as a result, because they continue to have that conversation of, what does that make of me? What does that mean for me? It's not about you, right? It's just, let's move on. So love that. Yeah. So when you think about, and it's interesting, I've had this question presented, it'd be interesting to see how you respond to it. When you are actually leading from embodiment, when you are resilient, what does that actually look and feel like in real life? Not just the Instagram version, but day to day.
Okay, so resiliency in the day to day and not getting caught in the stories. I would say it looks like your ability to, well, let's paint a picture, right? Let's paint a picture. I think that that's probably the better way to describe this in a real life scenario. So let's say you wake up in the morning and you are present and attentive. You're not spiraling into stories of anxiety and you feel well rested. That's number one. So now you start from there. This is your starting point now. Or maybe you woke up with a little bit of anxiety, but you have tools You bring yourself down, you pay attention to the body, you are present with what is, you process whatever's coming up, you use tools to bring yourself back to a state of regulation, and boom, you're back in a state of connectedness. You're present. You're able to co-regulate with other people. You're able to think and problem solve and create from that place. So now you have an idea, or you are able to respond to emails quickly. You're not getting stuck in stories. You're answering questions. You're moving on. You're replying to clients. There you go. Oh, somebody came in and there's a complaint or a criticism against you. Okay. There's a little bit of activation because that's necessary in that moment. You know how to meet yourself in that moment, be thoughtful before you respond and process what's coming up. You respond to it effectively. You're actually able to problem solve it within 5 minutes. There's not a huge thing. You don't attach to it. You don't carry it with you into the next thing. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the meeting. You're sharing ideas. You're presenting. You're charismatic. You're connected. You're listening. You're practicing compassion. You're being with the people there. There isn't a state of, I'm thinking about before, I'm thinking about what's ahead. You're here. You're with people, which allows you to be a better leader, which allows you to meet people, which allows you to make better connections, which allows you to hear and receive information and process it accordingly, because you're not hijacked by an emotional state, your amygdala and a dysregulated nervous system. All of a sudden, you're thinking with CEO brain, you're in your prefrontal cortex. And so now here you are, and you're able to take feedback, and then you leave the meeting. Oh, I have an idea to change this thing. You change one thing in your systems or your strategy or maybe your company policies, or you make a shift to the culture and you put something in place. You're able to do that quickly. All of a sudden, you need to set up a trajectory for the next 3 months that's going to take you to the next level just because of how you showed up that day and not being from a state of reactivity from the email you got earlier from the person who had a criticism or something for you. You leave work, you're detached, you're not carrying work home with you. Now all of a sudden you can be present for your kids. You're not snapping on your kids. You're able to be intimate with your partner. You're not thinking about work. It's like your whole world begins to shift and you become a whole person as opposed to this fragmented piece of you that's constantly stuck in what's happening in the business, what's happening in work, what's happening with the team, what's happening with the employees.
Yeah, and I think a miss in, I don't know if I want to call it education, in mentorship, in whatever, is I've seen it and I've lived it, is when we don't think about how our bodies operate, mind, body, spirit, and leverage that when we create our day, week, month, year. You know where I'm going with this. So many people, and this is something Katie has a phrase that literally I had a post-it note on my monitor for the longest time, but it's just part now of those non-negotiables that I have. So I often talk about what are your non-negotiables first thing in the morning, because that is when you're your best self, your most creative self, and you use the phrase create versus consume. And so I think what happens is people allow their calendars, their emails to dictate what their day is going to look like. But really what you should be doing first is, and I always say to people, what do you go to work for? You go to work to have a better life, to be able to afford the life that you want to live. Then I should look at my calendar and create the life I want to live first, meaning I put my vacation in, I put time in for myself, before I allow work to fill it up, realize which ones are my non-negotiables. And at the same time, because I used to do it, wake up in the morning and before I got to bed, I picked up my phone, I'd be checking emails, social media, and of course the news, which is horrible in the US and Canada. You know, it changes your mindset, but it disrupts that nervous system. It disrupts that flow of really that mind, body, spirit connection. So I'd love for you to share a little bit of thoughts around how do you protect your time? Because some people will say, well, I can't, because then that means I have to work in the evening. I just have too much to do.
Yeah. Oh, this is a great question. And I want to share an example of what you just said and how this relates to the painting the picture too. And it's going to come into the time piece as well. So when your nervous system is operating from a state of dysregulation regularly without tools and resources, because we're never going to be regulated all the time. That's not the purpose of our nervous system. We need all the things. But when you are in a constant state of fight or flight and living in this cycle, it's like being on a roller coaster with no brakes. And so you are constantly on the ups and downs. You have no idea what's coming next. And it feels like you're out of control. Feel, 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 feel. There's no brakes. You know what happens on a roller coaster with no brakes? Well, it's going to fly off the tracks eventually. And you're going to crash. And you're going to burn. And it's going to suck. And then you choose to get right back on that same roller coaster and take the next cart until it flies off the tracks and crashes and burns. That's what it feels like. And so you feel completely out of control. What we have to learn to know is how to create brakes in the roller coaster. This is our ventral brake. And so we do that through everything that you teach your clients, everything we talked about today. And that allows us to be, and we know that we have this and we can trust ourselves. That means we can create control, a sense of control back in our time, right? Because are we really in control? We could go into spiritual philosophy around that, but we can create a sense of control, autonomy, sovereignty with our time and our schedule, which is absolutely necessary if we are going to be somebody who is taking a holistic approach to leadership. And so what I like to think about is, what do I need, number one? Like, what do I know I need? There are things that I need. There are non-negotiables in my values. There are non-negotiables in my time. And there are non-negotiables with my mental health. And so I know what those are. And so in order to have those things, I set my schedule up. So like most people, when I came into coaching, everybody was doing Telegram and Voxer, so voice message support in between sessions, 7 days a week. I was like, okay, that's what everybody's doing. Let's do it. And sure, I can do that because I have a very large tolerance level for activity as a person with, you know, CPTSD, who's constantly been in a state of survival for most of her childhood and adolescence and early adulthood. I have a very high tolerance for insanity. I have a very high tolerance for action, right? Until I crash and burn, till I, because I don't have the brakes, right? And so people are doing this and I'm like, I'll just do that too. And then I woke up like 3 years in and I'm like, what am I doing? And so I cut down to 5 days a week and I'm like, I'm still like, what am I doing? Because coming from an industry of working with people who were sometimes suicidal or severely depressed and on watch plans for suicide, they still didn't have access to me at that level. And I'm like, what am I doing to my own mental health? How am I enabling my own clients by not taking control of my schedule and just doing what I think I should do because that seems to be what everyone else is doing? No. Critical thinking, this isn't supportive of me and my non-negotiables for my mental health and my time. I want time to be able to be in CEO mode to work on my business. And I also want time to do absolutely nothing on a Friday and wake up and go to the beach if I want to, because that's the whole reason I started this business. I don't want to have to be thinking about somebody else's crisis on a Friday morning, right? And so that was one of the things I had boundaries around my time and access to me. And I think is a very important lesson for a lot of leaders too. So if we're thinking about our time schedule and what we need to support ourselves in the morning, like we can think of Oprah, who doesn't take meetings until 10 o'clock or something in the morning, will not take a meeting before then. You hear a lot of CEOs say the same sentiment, myself included. I do not get on calls with clients until 11. After 11 o'clock, I don't do trainings until after 11 o'clock because I need time in the morning to take care of my non-negotiables for my mental health, my spiritual, my physical, and my fitness, right? Like these are the three things I need. I just need them. That's what I have to do. I also need days where I'm just creating and not constantly task switching in my brain between a client, back end stuff, content creation. We all know that makes us dumber. Like we're not trying to do that. Like, and so making sure that we set up our schedule and take control over it is the first step. But I think in order to do that, we have to trust ourselves that it is okay to do that, that we are allowed to do that, and that other people aren't going to get mad if we set boundaries on our schedule. And in fact, that is the role of a leader, to model what this actually looks like to our employees, to our clients, to our teams, whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, I could go down probably a rabbit hole with that, with respect to leaders, and I've seen so much of it. You know, I talk a lot to leaders that are looking for help in development to that next role around that intentionality and that strategic, because I always say, to your point, you know, you mentioned Oprah, but look at somebody you admire that's higher than what you wish to achieve. What is it about them that you like? What is it you enjoy about them as a leader? to your point, you're there to protect yourself, but your team as well. And just own the shit out of it and be bold to say no sometimes, or to protect your space on your calendar to be able to put that CEO mindset on. Because that was something that I learned from a leader that I had when I was in the corporate world. And I said, you know, I could, my calendar was booking from morning till evening with meetings. And I was like, well, when do you get your work done? And he said to me, he said, you need to block intentional time where you will be working on projects or work that needs to get done. And it's a non-negotiable. You don't take a meeting in lieu of, or you say, you know, do I give up this to do this, right? Like, it's, you can't do it all. And I think sometimes we think that in order to achieve better or higher or that promotion or that raise, we have to say yes to everything that somebody higher up is telling us to do. But that, I think the managing up is one of the biggest gaps that some leaders and employees have, right? It's being protective and saying no, instead of sitting around till 8 o'clock at night doing work.
Exactly, because how can you be effective in any position or role or for your team if you're just completely burnt out and exhausted? You just can't be.
No. And it doesn't help you or the business, so.
No.
Can you help women build their capacity to hold more? And that's what I love about you. More success, more wealth, more visibility, more love, more ease, more peace, more joy. And that's not always easy for people. They aspire for that, but they say, oh, well, how can I possibly add more? What's the biggest thing that blocks that capacity? And what's the one thing that consistently works in expanding it?
I would say the one thing that blocks women from having more is giving energy and attention to the wrong things and the way that they're currently responding to what's in their external environment. I think that that is the biggest block to people expanding their capacity. And then on the other side of that, it depends on the pattern that someone is in. It could be a pattern of taking on more and adding more and acting on every idea that they have and just constantly overloading their plates. Rather, it might be a boundary issue of just saying yes to everything, like you were just talking about, saying yes to every meeting and doing all of that. But the most effective way in expanding someone's capacity is being able to find where the patterns lie in that and meeting the parts of them and the emotions that are causing them to do these patterns. And typically, if we peel back the onion, so to say, what we're going to find is a feeling of unworthiness. What we're going to find is a little girl who didn't have her needs met, or a little boy who didn't have his needs met. What we're going to find is a part of you that is being protected by this behavior. And so the best way to expand the capacity is to meet that part of you, to meet the, and to see what she needs to process, see what that part of you needs to process, what emotion needs to be processed, and create safety to be with that emotion, and then move into a state where now you can be attentive to what you need, as opposed to being aware of your external stimuli and constantly thinking about what's happening around you, but be attentive to the internal stimuli that is happening, which is the emotions, and knowing how to meet them and process them in real time, because that's going to expand your capacity to build resilience. And so if we're looking at a bandwidth window, capacity is our ability to stay in a state of connection or move quickly back into a state of connection when we get activated. A lot of people live in a tolerance zone, which is at the top of their capacity window. And so they're just tolerating. That's what I was sharing before. It's like, I have a high tolerance. I can tolerate a lot. But just because I'm tolerating, it means I'm teetering on the edge of dysregulation constantly. And if I'm constantly teetering on the edge of dysregulation, it feels like I'm taking one step forward and one step back. And that's not capacity. That's a dance. That's a dance with burnout. That's a dance with exhaustion. That's a dance with stress that I'm constantly in and constantly trying to navigate, never really moving forward because I'm kind of just wobbling in one spot, maybe making a little progress, but then bouncing back. But when I'm in a state of capacity, I'm steady. I'm focused. I'm present. And to build that capacity, we have to be able to meet what's happening in real time with attentiveness, not just, I know I do these things, but actually, okay, well, what's happening inside of you when you're doing these things? What do you actually need instead? How can we stop outsourcing our needs to people, money, sales, whatever, and actually start being the person who meets those needs, because this will create a level of self-trust that's unparalleled.
Wow, that was great. Yeah, that was so clear. I'm sure everybody will take something away from that. I find that the other thing, and you've talked about it too, is the other thing that a lot of people feel stuck in is that shame. And so they hide under ambition, right? So the shame that hides under ambition, how does it show up silently in our decisions? And what's the first step that you guide people into releasing that? Because that's not specific to women. I've seen some men with that as well.
Oh, yeah, I speak about women primarily because I love working with women, and my mission is to help women dissolve the shame that tells them that they can't have more, that they can't be leaders, that they can't express themselves, that they can't own their gifts, because I truly believe that when the shame is dissolved, we're going to create more rich women, rich in money, rich in power, rich in confidence, rich in impact, all of these things. And that's what is near and dear to my heart. So when we're thinking about shame, it's not gender biased, obviously, but it shows up in sneaky ways because shame says I'm not good enough. Shame says I'm bad. And if anybody sees how bad I am, then they are going to expose me, and it's going to be confirmed to me just how bad I am and how unworthy I am and how I don't deserve things. And so when we think about, I don't deserve love, acceptance, belonging, the money, the promotion, the connection, happiness, whatever. And so when we look at how does this show up in behaviors, I mean, it's going to show up in your decision-making process. It's going to show up in the way that you function in regards to how much you think you have to do to be worthy of the promotion, what you think you have to say. It's literally guiding all of the expression that you have, the way that you set boundaries. So specifically for my clients, let's say a woman comes into me and she has fear about marketing her services and selling online, right? Which is a big one because it's a vulnerable act, right? And shame tries to block you from feeling vulnerable, and it'll do everything in its power to make you shut down and not take the actions that make you feel vulnerable, because to be vulnerable means to be exposed, and we don't want to be exposed. We're trying to hide the shame center, right? So when we're thinking about, okay, well, you need to go post a piece of content and go live and talk about your offer and share about how you're really good at what you do and why people would want to work with you, immediately shame will start to show up in protective patterns like procrastination and perfectionism and over editing content and feeling like you're, this is a big one. I feel like I'm performing and I'm not being authentic. Well, because you don't feel like you can show yourself online. So you might actually be performing a little bit, and that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong, but we need to get rid of some of the things that tell you that people don't understand you, or that they're not going to get it, or that you're not smart enough, or other people are smarter than you, or you're not pretty enough, or whatever it is, whatever story, shame story is spiraling behind the scenes that's making you feel so inauthentic when you show up. Because it's not marketing or selling that's inauthentic. It's shame that makes you hide behind masks that feels inauthentic. And so it's not a copy template. It's not anything like that. It's the shame inside. So when we're looking at that, it's the same process of meaning. Shame is just simply an emotion. It's an emotion that's connected to the nervous system. And so when we feel shame, we want to hide. We want to mask up, we want to armor up. And so the body will, you'll literally notice the body shift when someone is experiencing shame into a protective stance. Like you'll notice it, or a shutdown. You can pay attention, you can see it on these calls when you're talking to people. And it's like, okay, you immediately know what to do when you see that. So like this is why working with a trained professional, I know you know this, Caroline, because you're doing this with your clients every single day, but it's like, you don't know it. If you knew it, you would have fixed it. If you knew what to do with it, you would have done it. And I can't, shame is something that has to be healed through connection and relationship. Because shame says, I don't deserve to be loved and have connection and belonging. So if we want to heal shame, we need connection. This is why my membership is a membership that's specifically around shameless, becoming shameless, to receive more money and clients, because shame has to happen. The reduction of shame, the dissolving of shame in the nervous system has to happen in relationship. It has to happen through witnessing. It has to happen through processing. They're saying, what you think is so terrible about you is not terrible at all. In fact, I actually feel this too, and I have this experience too. And that moment of me too, I see you and I get you, shame dissipates, right? And all of a sudden we're open for connection. And now we're not as scared if somebody comes along and says, you suck and I don't like your content. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I like me. I don't care what you have to say. And we just move on our merry way and go do the next thing. And we sell our services and we make a difference. And we make a huge impact in this world. So shame is, I wish I could tell you a 1-2-step process, but it's like meeting somebody where they are, noticing where the shame is stemming from, being with those emotions, processing them, and allowing them to be witnessed in a one-to-one or group container that allows them to dissolve that shame, and then slowly moving into actions that allow them to expose themselves to the world in safe, small doses at a time. We're not doing too much too fast, but taking the small baby steps to let yourself be seen, because in being seen, shame is reduced.
Yeah, and it's why I created my membership as well, because if you even think about Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs, safety and belonging are key.
Right.
And I feel like this world lost community. You know, if you go back and you think about the way effective communities used to work, is they used to support each other. They used to have communities. They used to tell each other stories. They used to support each other. If one was sick, the others would step in and support. And I feel like in society, it all became about me, about, you know, competition, about I can't share my knowledge because, God forbid, if I share all this knowledge with Katie and she gets the promotion and I don't, why would I want to do that? But it's, you know, when you feel confident about it and you don't have that shame, I find is when you start to see those individuals share their knowledge, send that elevator down to bring up the other people and build that community and rise people up and just be thankful for what you have and what they have. There's nothing wrong with it. And that's why I think those community memberships are so, so, so key.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%.
So key. So if somebody was listening right now and saying, wow, this is me, they're talking about me, you know, I've been performing, I've been pushing, I've been proving, because trust me, we've all been there, and coaches need coaches. Like I said, Katie's my coach, right? You still go there. I know what you're going to say, but where should she start aside from hiring you or I? What's one shift that she can make this week that would immediately help her feel safer, more grounded, and more in tune with her body without overhauling her entire life?
Okay, this is a great question. I would set aside an intentional presence practice for the next week. And what I would suggest is that for the first 3 days, you do it one time a day. For the next 4 days, you do it two times a day. And in the morning, just to get the practice going, so you don't think, oh my God, I didn't do it two times a day and now I suck and I'm not going to do it tomorrow. Like, in the all or nothing thinking will kick in. But like, so pick a time for the next 3 days, and then we're going to add another time in for the 4 days after. It could be morning. It could be night. It could be in the middle of the day on your lunch break. Be sitting in your car, you know, before you go into the house after work. I don't care. Whatever. Just set aside 5 minutes. And you're literally going to turn on a timer on your phone and you're going to sit for 5 minutes quietly with nothing. And you're just going to pay attention to what's happening. What am I noticing in my body? When things start to hijack you, start to think about your day, you're going to say, no, we're not thinking about that. We're just being here right now. What's happening in my body? Like, and you can literally talk out loud to yourself. I had to do this in the beginning. I literally had to talk out loud to myself. I didn't realize I was actually doing this practice when I got sober, because I've been sober now over 14 years. And the cravings were so intense in the beginning. It was terrible, you know? And this is why most people don't get sober, is because literally the cravings and the reward system in the brain, you run back to it because you're looking for relief. And I remember I would get the cravings and I would literally stop, stop. I would say out loud to myself, stop. What are we doing? Where are we? Where are my feet? What's happening right now? And this was, 14 years ago, before the nervous system was the thing, you know? All we knew was mindfulness back then. That was what we had. We had mindful CBT. And it was like, okay, you just notice where you are. And so I want everyone to do that. I want you to start building the relationship with your body, being present in your body, not running, not through the escape hatch of what happened yesterday, what's happening tomorrow, what happened right before I got in the car, what's happening when I get out of the car, what am I eating for dinner, what did this person say, oh my God, that email. No. Here, where am I right now? Look at your feet, look at your hands on the steering wheel, look at your hands on the armrest of your couch, wherever it is, where am I right now? What's happening? Maybe you feel a little bit of anxiety. Maybe you feel tired. Maybe you even feel hungry. I don't know. Maybe you have to pee, but you're just going to stay with it. And you're just going to notice what's happening. Are there emotions coming up? Maybe. Can you name them? Maybe not. Maybe you have no idea what it is, but you're just going to notice what's happening in the body with non-judgment and compassion. This is okay that this is happening right now. This isn't wrong. Nothing is abnormal. I'm not going to spiral out. Like, we're just here and we're just present. And if you can do that for 5 minutes, you're doing better than probably a large percentage of the population. And so trying that for one time a day for 5 minutes, then moving on to two times a day. And in this process, you're going to start noticing, you're intuitively going to know, oh, I feel tightness in my chest. Maybe I should take a deep breath. Your body's just going to automatically know what to do. That's the beauty, is that when you get your head out of the way, your body intuitively knows what you need to do. Maybe you're sitting there and feel a little anxious, and you notice you go like this, and you just need to like shake it. Your body knows. You can trust the intelligence of your body, but you're not going to be able to connect to that intelligence of your body if you don't have a relationship with your body and with presence inside of you, not outside of you.
Beautiful, beautifully said. I know for me it's movement, and I've shared with my community that I love to crank up music and dance like nobody's watching, whatever. But I think there's so many different ways to be able to do exactly what you're talking about. And I think having that starting point, and love what you said about not doing it every day, like just pick 3 days the first week, because that's like with anything, exercise, anything like that, because you don't want to feel like you failed, because there's just another story that you'll be telling yourself, as opposed to I did it. And if you know why you miss a day, you miss a day. Give yourself some grace and compassion, because why wouldn't you? You would to a friend. So
Right.
speaking from personal experience, what becomes possible when someone finally feels safe to be fully seen and not just by others, by herself?
Oh, so many things. I was like, phew, like all of them.
Sounds good.
All of it came to mind. What happens when a person is able to feel safe being fully seen? You open the door for connection, love, and belonging. And when you do that, it's not connection, love, and belonging to others. It's connection, love, and belonging to yourself. And when you belong to yourself, when you love yourself, when you have an unconditional love for self, when you are attentive to self, and you feel safe with you, there's literally nothing you can't do. You will be willing to take the risks. You'll be willing to be vulnerable. You'll be willing to ask for what you need. You'll be willing to say the thing out loud that no one else will say, that everyone else is scared to say. You'll be willing to have the conversations that deepen relationships and change lives. Your courage will increase to limitless potential. And so when you're doing this, I mean, your whole life is going to transform. And if we're looking at the lens of leadership, I mean, you're going to ask for the raise. You're going to ask for the promotion. You're going to secure the project. You're going to ask for the funding for the thing that you want to try. You're going to, if you're running a business, you're going to put the new offer out there. You're going to create the post. You're going to sell the thing. You're going to make the live. You're going to innovate. You're going to call out things that are no longer working, and you're going to create solutions and change for those things. I immediately go to relationships too, like the deepening of relationships. Holy crap. Like, what is going to happen there in every aspect, from peers to partners? It's just, you're going to open up the door for surprises every single day that blow your mind in the level of connection, abundance, and joy that you get to experience. You're going to be sitting in your rose garden at 90 thinking, damn, that was a great life. And that regret that most people feel isn't going to be your problem, because you won't have regrets, because you felt safe to do all the things that you wanted to do and try all the things that you wanted to try and go after all of your goals and dreams.
So love that. So embodied that. You know, it makes me think about why I started doing what I started doing. And it was really all around purpose and legacy. You know, I've shared with the listeners and with Katie about when my dad passed, hearing his legacy, I was like, well, what's my legacy going to be? What are my children going to say about me? Are they going to say, well, mom worked hard? That's not the legacy that I want to leave behind. Everybody has gifts and a purpose. What are you waiting for? Was kind of the thing that woke me and just kind of went, you know what? This there's more to life. And what are you waiting for? When's the right time?
It's literally the best question. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
You're waiting for it to be the right time. You're waiting to have more money. You're waiting to tell someone you can. You're waiting till you have more time. All of these things are just made up beliefs inside of your brain that keep you stuck where you are, trying to protect you. It's like, why not now?
And I feel like we ask that question all the time, right, Katie? Like, when's the right time to buy a house or a condo? When's the right time to get married? When's the right time to have a child? And I joked with one of my clients when I asked her those questions, and I said, but you jumped into all of those anyways, because you knew you could do it. So why can't you jump into the belief of yourself and just taking that leap and flying?
That's it. And that's why most people are scared to invest in themselves and the different ways that are necessary to grow, is because, like, well, what if I can't get results?
Right.
What if it doesn't work for me? What if it does? What if it's the best decision that you ever made? What the frick are you waiting for? You know what I mean? Like, how much longer are you going to wait? Because you could just go after the thing that feels like the next right move. If you're paying attention to it, it's probably the next thing you're supposed to do. If it scares the crap out of you, it's probably the next thing you're supposed to do. If it makes you feel excited and a little terrified, it's probably the thing that you're supposed to do. If you're looking around and you can't stop thinking about it and everything keeps reminding you of it, it's the thing to do. If it's the question you can't get out of your head, it's the thing to face. Like, it's all, like, that's it. What's in the way is the way. And a lot of the times people are thinking like, oh, I just need to wait longer because then it'll feel more aligned, more whatever.
Be more prepared.
For what? Like, what were you? You weren't prepared when you popped into this world and you figured your way through. You have 100% success rate so far. So, like, just go after the thing you want to do. Just take the risk.
Love that. Thank you. So if people need to leap, just ask Katie or I. We'll help you. We'll push you if you need. Katie, my final question I ask it of all my guests is, what is the biggest thing that you've learned throughout your journey that you want to share with the listeners, that they, you know, that valuable lesson?
That's a great question. Really makes you think. The most valuable thing. I'm just going to go with the first thing that comes to mind. The first thing that comes to mind is that your body holds every single answer that you're looking for. I talk a lot with my clients and in my brand, like your body is your business partner. If you're willing to meet yourself inside, meet all the parts of you and the emotions and all the things that you're feeling, and you do the work to connect to that continuously over and over and over, because it's a never evolving process, because you're constantly collecting, it's like a computer, you're constantly collecting new data from outside of you. You're constantly exposed to new experiences. So that means there's going to be new operating programs, glitches, opportunities, programming to be worked with, to be shaped, to be molded, to be processed, to be recategorized. And when you make your body your partner in life, in business, in leadership, you are going to open the door to not only success that you can never even imagine, like all those goals and dreams and aspirations for the raises, for the promotions, for the insane incomes that are coming in every month, for the first class trips, the speaking on stages, the book deals, all of those things are going to come to fruition. And you're actually going to be able to meet them with joy and presence and a level of gratitude and appreciation that allows you to experience even more of that. It's like a multiplying effect. And you're going to have something that is sustainable, not because of a system or because of some magical freaking thing that somebody gave you, but because you have a body that is tended to and can hold the levels of extraordinary success that you desire and that are made for you, right? And so I would say making your body your partner in everything you do, not living in your head, but living between your head, your body, and your heart, and integrating those parts of you, that is going to allow everything else that has to happen to actually work, and you to show up as the person who's able to multiply it in every capacity.
Love that. Love, love, love that. And on that note, Katie, I'm going to include it in the show notes, but how can people find you and maybe tell them a little bit about what you got going on?
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for having me, Carol. I love this conversation. I always love talking about this stuff. Like, lights me up. I'm so energized. So you can find me on Instagram at I am Katie Townsend. That is the best place to come hang out with me. That is where all of my content lives. That is like my hub. So you can come hang out with me on Instagram. I'm always in my stories. There's always opportunities to ask questions, get feedback, learn tips and tools and tricks to build your capacity, to expand your business, to elevate your marketing, to elevate your leadership. And the best ways to come hang out with me and work with me are really the Rich and Shameless Society. The Rich and Shameless Society is my 12-month membership. It is a community of badass women, visionaries, impact makers, creative geniuses who are looking to dissolve the shame that holds them back from fully expressing themselves, to create marketing that really stands out and has people coming into their businesses that they love working with, while also being able to feel worthy and safe, receiving more money, more attention, more visibility, so that they can live that life that feels rich as fuck in every sense of the word.
Love that. And Katie, I know you've got a couple of free resources. Where can I grab those?
Oh, you can come to my Instagram. If you go to the link in my Instagram, we have the 5 must-haves to consistent 5-figure months. And I also have my CEO archetype quiz that is going to be finished very soon. So by the time this podcast is up, it'll probably be in the links.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. I've truly enjoyed it. And check out the show notes. I'll have all the information on how to reach out to Katie. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Balanced Leader. If you want to go even deeper, then visit my website at carolinebarrett.com, find some free resources, and look at all the different ways that I can support you to become your best self. Remember, change begins with just one small step. It's those tiny actions that start you on the path to achieving your dreams and finding balance. And as always, Life is an experience. So take a moment to enjoy the journey and appreciate the progress you make along the way. Until next time, keep taking those small steps, savor the journey, and lead with courage and authenticity. This is Caroline reminding you to stay bold, stay balanced, and keep moving confidently towards your dreams.